This week is our final week. You'll make it, don't worry. This week is our final week in our short series on thinking about the news. And the news has been a prevalent thing this year in 2020, with many very prominent events happening and people paying attention almost daily in many cases to what's going on and new developments on different fronts and things happening in the society and the world. And so I thought it'd be wise to talk about how we as Christians, as those with a Bible, as those who are dispensational, think about the news and approach that. The news is not where we find truth, you understand. It's an information delivery system and all of that, and that's all useful and profitable as far as it goes. But we find our truth in the Scripture and the Bible. We are also Christians, not only biblical, but we're Christians, and there's a difference. People have Bibles, and they want to read the Bibles, and yet they may not be Christian. And so thinking as a Christian is different as we approach the news from that perspective, having a purpose that God gave us as Christians, a function in the church, the body of Christ, and what we do is supposed to be about that function. And then last week we covered dispensational thinking about the news, which is even more rare than any of those, where you're looking at the news from the perspective of the Bible rightly divided and from that chart in your mind. And if you're not used to doing that, it's good to take that chart in your mind outside of where we draw the charts to think about the world that way. It will help you understand how the world works from God's perspective. Now, it may not be what the wise men of the world or the new talking heads in the world say the world works, but that's how the Bible says the world works. And so that's the difference. So thinking about the news biblically or as a Christian or dispensationally is very important, seeing as you are supposed to have the mind of Christ. You're supposed to understand God's will. You're supposed to be a participant in His will. Okay? This week, then, as our conclusion, I want to talk about thinking too much about the news, which may be ironic since we've done it for 4 weeks on Sunday. There's a problem with that, and I think in the age in which we live, with abundant information everywhere, this is a concern. Okay, we have all around society, and I'll draw a representation, the old radio tower here, news, you know, just being broadcast about. And here we are in the church, representation by where we're meeting. The church is not a building, it's a people. Right, so inside the church are a bunch of people, right? That's what they teach you as a kid. That's the church. And we're supposed to be holding God's Word and the Bible as our final authority as Christians. And so we're also communicating a message, right? And where do these two meet? Because we don't only live here in this building, but you live as a Christian everywhere. And so where does that clash? You have dispensational thinking in our church meetings, and some of you don't even say the word dispensation outside of this meeting. It's like it's a very almost technical language, seems like. Then there's Christian thinking, which, you know, that's more acknowledged in the culture. And then even more is this idea of being biblical or using biblical principles, which Jews share. They'll use the Old Testament. Even Muslims will talk about some of those principles. And so this pervades our culture. And when people are looking from the outside in, it's very hard for them to see dispensational. In that perspective, that's very hard to grasp even. What they see is those are those Bible people. Maybe those are those Christians, right? Very rarely do you hear anything about this. And we'll see also it's not very common to have this being a big influence in our culture. You represent a unique position. You who understand the Bible rightly divided, who are saved by God's grace, according to the mystery, and who understand how the Bible works. You can communicate this truth, okay? When you destroy an understanding of the Bible, you affect, possibly, people's salvation. And you'll also diminish the biblical influence in the culture and those around you. We're supposed to be communicating God's Word. Okay, in contrast to this, you have the news. Okay, the things, what's happening now, the thinking that is in the world. Some Christians like to use this word, secular, right? You heard that word before, secular. You don't hear dispensational teaching coming from here. Okay, you don't even hear the gospel of salvation very much coming from the way the world thinks. And yet everybody in the world, here they are, this is our mission field, they're listening, right? They've got their ears, but they've all the big ears over here. They're listening. And what are they hearing? You know, this is the issue. It's confusion, right? But they're hearing news quite frequently. Very often people listen to the news, and that's where they find out what's happening in the world, right? Well, that's what the Bible tells us about what's happening in the world. See, well, it's not current events. All right, it's not new, right? So current events, you got to listen to the news. You got to be informed, okay? Look at Acts 17. Acts 17, 16. In the first century, the Greeks took pride in their search after wisdom, knowing things. You've heard of the word Gnostic before, which comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. You've heard that, a million preachers say that to you. The Greeks were known for their wisdom and knowledge in the first century. In Acts 17, Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, goes to Greece, and he starts preaching there. And Acts 17 is the account of this, where he arrives at Athens. Now, among the Greeks, you've heard of the Spartans, you've heard of the Athenians, you know. The Athenians, those in Athens, were the culturally engaged, right? They're the cultural Greeks, okay? They're really seeking after that wisdom. The Spartans were more militaristic. But in Acts 17, down at verse 16. Acts 17, 16. While Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Here he is walking around, and he's hearing what people are talking about, hearing the first century news, as that is, right? And he sees that there's idolatry everywhere. Idolatry meaning they don't know God, are worshiping God, don't know his will, aren't doing it. Idolatry. They don't care. Or they're serving other gods, other ideas of what's more important. And so he sees this, and so in verse 12:18, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews. He goes into the religious place, the Jews, which would be most familiar to him, him being a Jew, and the synagogues are where God's word was supposed to be taught. Right? So Paul sees what's going on here, so that's idolatry. So he goes first to the places where the religious people were at to see what they're teaching, to preach to them Christ and him crucified, because that's not what was going on in the synagogues. They're preaching Old Testament. They're not preaching Jesus as the Christ. And so he disputes with them about Jesus in verse 17. He also, however, is in the market daily with them that meet with him in verse 17. He's trying to change the conversation to be about what God is doing. You see, that's what he's doing. Verse 18, certain philosophers, that's the nature of the Athenians, they had philosophers everywhere. The philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him and said, by the way, Stoicism is a philosophy that exists even today. And a lot of the self-help motivational books that you'll find today refer to Stoicism as if it's still a good way to calm your mind from the busyness that's around you, including the news. And so this topic about too much news, it's not new here. This is being discussed in other places, and their solution is Stoicism. Their solution is meditation, right? There's other solutions for it. Acts 17, 18, the Stoics encountered Paul. And so he made an uproar, okay? He caused a social media stir and got some clicks. This is first century, you know, applied to 20th century language here. In verse 18, they said, what will this babbler say? And he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him into Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine, wherever thou speakest, is. They asked him to speak, because they'd heard that he was becoming popular. He had a few things that went kind of viral. Like, look at this guy. Click. Right? And they set him before the Areopagus. And verse 20 says, 20, thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. Why do they care about strange things being brought to their ears? And that's why Luke stops in a parenthetical statement, says, for all the Athenians and strangers were there, spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or hear some new thing. That's called YouTube. That's what that is. You ever been on YouTube and spent hours on it? Watch video, click, watch video. How did I get here? Because you kept clicking strange headline titles and clicks, and there you are. That's what that is. It's the same spirit in humanity that goes back thousands of years. They didn't have YouTube in the first century. But this is that's how that worked. They had a place where you just speak your strange doctrine, people would hear, you know, and moving on, next person. That's how they would do it. They wanted to tell or hear some new thing. They were culturally engaged and wanted to know what was new. That's why they clicked on Paul. Look at Paul. Click. It's a new thing. It's not they were interested in Jesus. They just had never heard of that before. And what's he saying about it? Okay. Every day there are 500 million tweets, 4 million hours of video uploaded to YouTube, and 4.3 billion Facebook posts. If it was your job to read or watch everything new posted every day, it would take you longer than recorded history for you to do that. Conclusion, it's impossible, right, for you, right? Because there's billions and millions. These numbers are too large for us to grasp of the computers and the internet allowing this information to be out there. I say information very loosely, of course. Much of it is just meaningless. Much of it is vanity, right? But it's out there, waiting for your attention, waiting for you to learn about something I'd never seen before, something I'd never saw that. Some of the most popular channels on YouTube and social media are things that people just have never seen before, right? It's interesting. You'd think it would be some profound, deep, world-changing stuff. No, it's not. It's just things people have never seen before. I've never seen a goat do that. I've never seen that. 17 million clicks. Wow. No one's ever seen it. But what's that say? Where did he put that thing? 20 million clicks. You know, it's like, you've never seen that before. And that's all. That's what it is, mainly. And this is, again, the spirit of people, as it's been since the fall. Under lockdown, which is why I'm describing the situation the last 4 or 5 or 6 months, there's actually been, according to recent studies, a decrease in scriptural engagement. You would have thought that when they closed the churches down or when they closed people down from their jobs or from society, the social distancing, that people would have gone home and said, you know what, now that I've got some time, open the Bible. No, that's not what happened. Now, some of you are going, that's not going to happen. Well, that's what didn't happen. They've done the survey. They did the survey back in January, as they do it every year in January. And since they happened to be before the lockdowns, they did another one recently, like kind of during and after, and they found a decrease. In fact, historically, the largest decrease or the rate of scriptural engagement this year. There's increased, however, media consumption. And so more people are engaged in media consumption, decreased scriptural engagement, right? This is the trade-off that I'm talking about today, about thinking too much about the news, is that, okay, there's news. There's a function to know what's happening in the world, but it has a specific function. And the function is not 11 hours a day. The function is not 6 hours a day. The function may not be 2 hours a day, right? There's a specific function. You have a purpose as God's ambassador, as a Christian, that is different than what the news and the world and what the conversation typically is going on when they're trying to tell or see or hear some new thing, okay? Pew Research says that 89% of people watch TV every day or watch a movie every day or every week, 89%, okay? Watch TV every day or movie every day. 55% pray in the same time period. See the gap there, right? 29% read the Bible. You may sympathize with this, and you say, okay, yeah, I've watched a lot of TV and movies and Netflix, but prayer, not as much. Scripture, not as much. If you prayed as much as you watch TV, that would be monkish, wouldn't it? That would be how much that is. But this is just the surveys when they ask people what you've done in the last 24 hours or the last week. I wrote in the email tip on Saturday yesterday some recent surveys done among Americans. 92% of American homes own Bibles. 92%. Okay, so here's America, right? 92% own Bibles. I mean, we're a Christian nation after all, right? I say that a little tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, that America is the most, at least publicly, Christian nation in the world. That's what's told us. 90% of homes have a Bible. That seems to make sense. We're not a Hindu nation or Islam nation. We're a Christian. Okay, 90% of the people have a Bible. 70% of Christians say they're Christian. 70% of Americans say they're Christian. 92% have a Bible in their home. 70% say they're Christian. 22% difference. They say, okay, maybe there's some unbelievers that have Bibles. That's reference. That's the culture we're in. Okay. 70% say they're Christian. 31% of people in America read the Bible at least once a month. Well, that's a big jump. 70% say they're Christian, 31% actually read it, let's just say once every month. Like when you're paying your bills every month, you open the Bible and pray to God he give you a paycheck. Once a month, 31%. That's a 40% drop from 70% who say they're Christian, which means 40% don't read the Bible once a month. That's 12 times in a year. Maybe once or twice a year, right? That's it. By the way, reading it that infrequently, what's the odds that people are going to know what it says? Not much. Okay. See what the church is supposed to be preaching here? Dispensational Bible truth, to save Christians, to expose biblical truth to the world. 31% of people in America only read it 12 times a year. They're not going to know what that is, let alone what that is. This, that's foreign, right? 24%, this was fascinating, 24% of Americans believe the Bible is the Word of God. 24%. That's a 7% drop. So 31% are reading the Bible once a month, 24% believe it's the Word of God. What are those 7% doing? They don't believe it's the Word of God, and they're still reading it once a month. I'm pretty sure it's like a social media post. It's like, you know those pictures you see? Right, you get a Bible verse on your Facebook, cops up. That's their, I read the Bible last month because I clicked like on that social media post. Does that count? Do you guys count that as Bible reading? I don't know. I don't. I'm not on Facebook. But anyway, 24% believe it's the Word of God. Right? We're getting smaller and smaller here. 9% read the Bible daily. Okay? Now, reading the Bible, even reading it daily, does not make you a Christian. Right? It also won't guarantee you understand what the thing says. In fact, recently they surveyed Christians and found that even though Christians are very confident, 80, 90% confident, that they could explain to someone what they believe and explain to someone to address their doubts about the Bible and can help them understand how the problems can be solved by the Bible. When asked if they understood the Bible when they studied it, only 57% said that, well, the other way, 57% said they didn't quite get it when they studied it themselves. Which means what? People speculate. I don't know. 37% of Christians, even though they're 80% confident that they can explain it to other people when asked, don't understand it when they read it themselves. Could it be that they're trusting other people to tell them what it says? Maybe. That's a speculation. That's not what the survey said. Maybe. So the point being, 9% read it daily, perhaps because many Christians open it up and are just confused by the thing. You know. Now, more are confident that they can explain it. Well, how did they get that understanding? Well, I've read Christian books, I've watched Christian videos, I've listened to Christian, you know, that maybe that sort of thing. 9% read it daily. We talked about at the beginning of our series here, a recent survey by George Barna in American Bible Society found that 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. 6%. So the biblical worldview is what we covered in our first lesson in this series. How to think biblically about the news. We're talking about a biblical type of worldview. How to use the biblical ideas and principles of justice and righteousness and you know, God and sin and these sorts of ideas just in the way we see things happening in the world. 6% have a biblical worldview. How are we doing as far as penetration in ministry? You want to take a guess how many have a dispensational worldview? How many of those are Christian? Now you say, well, you can be Christian without reading the... You can. This would be very hard, folks. And if you are a Christian without reading the Bible or believing it's God's word or having a biblical worldview and you're a Christian, you're not a soldier, are you? I mean, if they're saved, God knows they're saved, and they're not a workman, right? And I'm not saying this to depress all of you, saying, man, this is horrible, right? Or to say you're the only ones, because we're not the only ones, okay? But to simply say this is the state of affairs they've done in the surveys. And you say, well, where are people getting their understanding, their thinking, the way they're viewing the world, the way they walk in this world? Well, you think about what they're consuming. Because you will only grow to the extent of the more things you're exposed to, specifically knowledge, right? Which means you've got to read books or meet people that have that knowledge, right? Or God just plants it in your brain, you know. This happens sometimes, I guess. Kenneth Copeland says God speaks to him. Donald Trump says God speaks to him. You know, maybe, you know, no. The Bible, read books, or people that have read books, your exposure to the knowledge is how you grow. Otherwise, you're the same as you were last year. This is what famous basketball coach, was it John Wooden? That's what he said. You're the same as you were last year for the people you meet and the books you've read. Okay? You've got to expose yourself to knowledge and information to grow. People are like, well, I need to do that. And so turn on the news, click, right? I'll consume media, click. Well, how good is that at influencing people to think right about things? And that's what I'm challenging here through the series, was that it's not very good at all, right? What we need is more truth, which nowadays is what journalists say their job is, to communicate truth to people. Just recently I read that. They were talking about the disconnect and what journalism used to be, reporting facts and whatnot, to now journalists are trying to change the world through communicating truth to people. I thought that's what the church was supposed to be doing. You know, there's a little jurisdictional problem here. We're preaching truth because we have a source of truth in God's word. It's not just my opinion is holy and sacred. My opinion is nothing. It's God's word that's meaningful, right? Only 24% of people in America believe it's God's word. Only 6% of people in America have a biblical worldview that considers this book being the word of God to influence life and in your walk, right? Interesting, some things that they're finding out. Too much news creates what I've termed here, and this is just for the creative thinking of our study today, narrow-minded, nearsighted news syndrome. Or said in other ways, spiritual problems. That's what too much news does, okay? Narrow-minded. Now, this is interesting because people have the natural intuition to think that if I listen to more news or read all that's going on in the world, I'll be more open-minded. You've heard this, right? And we find it's the opposite, actually. And not we, but like people who study this actually find that it's the opposite. People who watch too much news become more and more narrow in their thinking because the way they think is confined to the source in which they're getting the information, right? If you're going to confine your thinking and conform your thinking to a source of truth or information, make it this, folks, the God of all creation, and your mind will be as large as he wanted it to be, you see? And that's huge, actually. When you realize that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Jesus Christ, that's a lot. When it talks about spiritual and the natural, that's a lot. When it talks about past, present, and future, that's a lot, right? When you're talking about Fox, CNN, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, what narrow mind is what's going to that's going to create. If that's all you consume, right, too much. And so it creates that. Nearsighted. It's nearsighted because you can't see past the nose in your face because it's only always ever about what is new and current. What happened to last week's news or last month's news or last year's news? It's what's new. Important new developments. Wow, what is that new development? Right? Well, I thought we had a cause last month or last year or last 2,000 years. I thought we had a cause. Oh, now we got a new thing. Right? Hear or see something new, the Athenians said. And so narrow-minded, nearsighted news syndrome is what I'm calling it, or just spiritual problems, because it will affect the way you think about things, the way you view the world, and it'll distract you from the purpose God made you for. You understand? We have to realize that, so that when we do turn on the news to find out what the weather is or to find out what's happening out there, we understand that there's a disconnect between what they're trying to do and what I'm trying to do. Right? I have some understanding from God's word. I'm going to get just what I need and discern the rest and knock, you know, filter that stuff out. Okay? And knowing that even too much can even be too much for me and too much for you. Right? So I need to make sure I monitor that. Maybe I'm dating myself here a little bit. Some of you are older than me, so you're dated more than I am. But I remember when there was newspapers and no other source of news, like newspapers, TV, radio. Now they do the survey and figure out where people get their news, and half people get their news from websites and social media. And but, you know, there's newspapers. So if there's newspapers, you get the news how many times a day? Once. I love the internet. I really do. Because now I don't have to be at the door for the newspaper man to deliver it. I don't have to pray for the extra ink or the extra advertisements. You know, I can get the news whenever I want. But that means I can get the news whenever I want. So who controls the news? Not the newspaper delivery guy. My want, you see? And this turns into a form of entertainment where people, they watch the news just to fill up their time. A distraction, right? I want to talk about some of those things today. News as education. People think of it that way. News as entertainment and news as a distraction. They talk about how too much news really can create this problem spiritually for you. Okay? 60% of believers, according to a recent survey, think that the pandemic's a sign from God. Okay? The pandemic, which everybody knows about because it's been all over the news. And I'm not saying you should be ignorant of everything, but it's just all over the news. 60% of believers think that the pandemic is a sign from God. A lot, what was it, like 70 or 80% of pastors they surveyed thought that it had something to do with the end times, okay, of pastors they surveyed in this one study. And no doubt that was because of the severity they thought the situation was. As in the Bible talks about in the latter days and the end times and signs of the times and revelations, bad times, right? And what makes you think that the times you're living in right now are bad? You got to think about that, okay? Who told you it was? How do you know? Where do you find that information? What statistics have you compared? What surveys have they done? What has actually affected you? Many of you it has affected. Many of you it has not. Right? How do we know these things? News is education. Education has the intent and function to educate people, to introduce them to knowledge and information and understanding of things so they can have that as tools to interpret things. We send people to school, our children to school, so they can learn how to read, write, and calculate, right? So they can be knowledgeable about certain things, basic tools in life, right? You go to college to gain skills, to have a profession, perhaps, or to just learn new things about different fields of study. You have to declare a major in college, right? There's whole departments talking about social sciences or natural sciences, right? There's engineering, archaeology, sociology, economics, anthropology. There's a whole field of study. And the news isn't divided up in those categories. Because those fields of study take too much to learn about to fit into a news bite, right? But that's where we learn things. We read books, we study, we research, we read, right? That's how we're supposed to be educated. Our parents pass down their knowledge from their experience. We get experience from other people who've lived lives through things. They've been there, they were there, they pass this experience on. And so you gain wisdom. Or you read the scripture, which is a higher source of knowledge and truth, where we learn what God says is happening, what he intends for us to do, what his purpose is. When you replace those sources with the news, you're going to get a really bad education. Because there is not some overlord, literally speaking, the Lord God wrote the Bible, right, who is dictating a curriculum by which when you watch enough news, you'll finally reach a point where you can get a PhD in news. We've already established that news is just as old as the next news headline, right? Just as new as the next news headline. 40% of people get their news online these days. 45% get it from TV still. And that's a decreasing number. And they found in the survey when they asked where you get your news source primarily, right? And then they asked them different questions about what was actually going on, like different facts and things about policies or events that were happening, like just general what has occurred. They found that those who use social media as their source of news were the least informed about the things that were actually going on. So how is that possible? I post 10 times a day on Facebook or whatever, Instagram. You know, I do that all the time, and I get all sorts of bombardments, like ding, ding, ding. And this is constantly on social media. So how is it that I'm the least informed? I got all these things I'm checking. Because they're useless, that's why. Right? Better than having abundance of information is having the right information. There's a difference. So it may not take very long to get the right or needed information. But if you get the same information from 15 different places, now it takes 15 times your time, right? Or maybe you're just getting opinions, or maybe you're getting a source that quotes a source that quotes a source. This is what happens today on social media. There's a survey that's reported. I reported already 5 or 6 different surveys, right? You say, Justin, where'd you learn these things? Well, I did not find a social media post and quote that guy. Okay. Now, I may have heard about the survey from some social media thing, and then I found the actual survey that was studied and read the report. That's way too much work. So you quote the guy, quote the guy, quote the guy. And the problem with that is every time it gets quoted and passed along, you know the game of telephone, right? Learn it in kindergarten. You distort the information. And that's social media. It's like, I'm passing on a link that was passed on by someone else, that was passed on by someone else, and the information has been distorted. It's been diluted, been oversimplified, overgeneralized, or even said something different, right? Which is to say that they've found that those who were using social media as their primary source were the least informed and the easiest to deceive. Because remember, they were saying that's their primary source. So I saw it on social media. That's what's happening, right? Maybe you got to say, I saw it on social media. That's interesting. I wonder if that happened, right? That's a different approach, you see, and then try to figure it out yourself. But again, that takes too much time. Maybe you'll evaluate at that point whether it's worth my time to figure that out. And if it's not, delete. Move on, right? Access to information is not the same as knowing information. Access to the Bible is not the same as knowing the Bible, right? It's the same when all of us have smartphones, most of us, a few of you are holding out, right? And you have access to all sorts of information. I use that term loosely. It's not the same as knowing and having knowledge and understanding of that information, if there's any information at all. Being able to discern between things that are vain and not vain is a skill that is lacking in our society. And the Bible talks a lot about vanity, because most things are vanity. Read Solomon, Ecclesiastes, right? But there is nothing that the news will say is vain. There's some fake news, but nothing's vain. Anything that catches your attention is a valid news report, right? What if it's vanity, worthless, doesn't matter, irrelevant? Well, to be able to deem it that, you better have some understanding of the real problem, or the real thing you're looking for, or the real purpose why you're even going to the news in the first place. Why am I here? Just to pass the time. Well, you're going to be sucked down a hole of vanity. That's what's going to happen, right? Why am I doing this? Well, to learn a specific information. Then you're going to be looking for that, you see. Why are you reading the Bible? Maybe this is why many people don't read it. They don't know why. They need to. I get all I need to know, social media and the internet, right? Or somewhere else. No, you don't. Knowing is not the same as wisdom. Just having knowledge of some things is not the same as walking according to that. We talked about that in our lessons. Just because you're a Christian, just because you know the Bible dispensationally, it is different than actually applying that to the way you think and the way you walk, right? In 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, Paul advises Timothy on where to get his information, okay? And I know I'm talking about the news here, and the Bible doesn't have a book discussing the news, but I'm trying to take some biblical application, some dispensational application, to how we can think about things happening in our world. Because though they didn't have the technology and the sources of news that we have today in the first century, okay, they still had the same people and thinking of those that create the news today. You know, the way the course of the world is, the desire to see a new thing. In 1 Timothy 4, Paul exhorts Timothy in verse 13, "Till I come, give attendance to any new thing you hear in Areopagus and from the Greeks and Gentiles." And anytime someone gives you a social media report at your congregation, make sure you check that out, because that may be something worth your time. "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Reading what, I wonder? Let's just say 3:16. The scripture is able to make the man of God perfect, complete. Well, God didn't have apps. He gave you this book, and either you're going to trust that this is sufficient to thoroughly furnish you unto all good works, or it's only sufficient to help you with some things, and the rest you need to get some updated information on. There's a faith issue here. If God knows the future, and God sees 2020 and 2021 and 2023, and he says, "This is what I want you to do," you saying, "Well, you haven't read the news, God." He has, and he's considered most of it vain. In fact, you, if you look in your past, would think most of the news you read in the past is vain. Like, it doesn't matter today, it only mattered then, right? It's meaningless. The news is a bad source of education, folks. If you want to learn things, read the scripture, right? Let it form the way you think about things. Secondly, read a book in general. You know, there's good books and bad books, but read a book, okay? And you say, "Well, you're old-fashioned. You know, read the e-book then," right? The thing about books is that people have, it's amazing to pick up a book and look at the back and say, "This guy spent 40 years of his life studying this thing." And here you are reading it in 2 hours. 40 years of someone's life work in 2 hours, okay? You don't get that from social media posts and opinions and this sort of thing. You don't get that, okay? And you can read that sort of information and gain knowledge of stuff. People would go to school to learn this thing, these sort of things. And today, you go to college and the majors aren't like they were before. You know, people are seeing that because this is the new authority. When you write something in the news, it influences so many people that they try to be that authority, right? I want to be able to write something and have it influence everybody, thus blogs and everything. I'm going to make my own authority. Right. Learn something. Learn what economics is, what anthropology is. Learn what psychology is. Learn what engineering is. Learn what math. Learn the fields of study. And you say, "I didn't even know these things existed." That's the problem. People have studied things before you, right? Namely, the Bible as well. God has revealed things about a lot of those fields of study. Did you know that psychology was initially created to replace the counseling of spiritual ministers to people's souls? That was part of the motivation of the early founders of psychology, was they rejected Christianity and they needed a way to deal with people's soul problems that weren't really soul problems, and thus psyche is the word for soul, soul study, but we don't believe in the soul, so it's what people think the soul is. Which is why today when you see psychological studies come out, they start reiterating things the Bible said. Like, to be more happy, be thankful. The Bible said that. But now psychologists have said it. It must be true. Right. They deal with the same thing. People have spiritual issues. Psychologists studied some of those surveys that I mentioned before. Psychologists did those studies. Right. The science part of it is fine. The surveys is fine. It's when they start interpreting your problems as not being spiritual but physical. Now you need a pill, right? Did you understand the beginning? Did you know sociology, which is a big conversation nowadays, you don't even know it, but we're facing a sociological debate in our culture. Just like back in March and April, we're dealing with an epidemiological debate. Epidemiology. You know what an epidemiologist is? You should after these months. But you know, an epidemiologist is different than a doctor. Like, they're not the same, right? These things, people study different things. Well, it all sounds like science to me. Science is a big field with lots of different fields of study. Sociology had a theory called the secularization thesis. Again, early sociology in the 19th century, when it became a field of study, rejected Christianity and old-fashioned religion and tried to study groups of people and how people interact, right? In our culture, we have a sociological debate about how to identify certain groups of people, right? Race is a sociological issue. Guess who else talks about this type of issue? The Bible. The secularization thesis is as we become more advanced and progress in our understanding of the world, we'll become less religious. That's what the thesis was. That was the theory. And every 15 or 20 years, they do another study to figure out whether the theory is true, because they're pretty confident that it is. And they find out it's not true. The more advanced we get technologically, the more advanced we get in our studies, it's not that people get less spiritual and less religious. You say, well, I heard that there's less Christians now in America. There's not more atheists, folks. You've heard of the spiritual nuns, right? And all over the world, people are looking for spirituality and looking for truth. They realize that we're not just a bag of dirt, right? But sociology, at least a lot of the foundations of it, reject that idea. Because as they rejected Christianity and religion, they said we need to study these things from a different perspective, right? Most of the evolutionists in fields of science are not in the hard sciences. They're in the social sciences, namely anthropologists. That's where most of the evolutionists are. And by the way, most evolutionists are Christians in America because of this. Right? I'm not saying true Christians. I'm just saying that's what they call themselves. Right? I mean, knowing this information is pretty useful. But you know what? You don't see that passed around on social media. What you get is when I've found this information and I've researched this stuff out and I put it in my email tip, people forward that on. And that's just fine. That's why I do this, to educate people. But it's perpetuating telephone, isn't it? How do you know what I said was true? I give you some numbers. How do you know that? If you're interested, maybe you should look them up, right? Otherwise, you're going to round up and say, well, Justin said 92. Next person says 100% of people have a Bible in America. That's how it works. You know, that's how it works. News is not a good place to get educated. You say, well, we've got to be informed about things. That's different than watching the news 11 hours a day. You want to be informed, and here's a good practical tip, perhaps. Maybe you weren't aware of this sort of thing, but, you know, I get a print magazine every week that gives this much about news items that happened that week in different areas of society. That's all I want, because that's all I need to know. I don't need to know 50 people's opinion about what happened or different extrapolations. I just want to know what happened in that week. I can read it in just a half hour, and that's it. Right? News aggregation. Look at that sort of thing. Where can I get a synopsis? On Christian radio, even. Some of you listen to Christian radio, some of you don't. On the top of the hour, there's a five-minute SRN news broadcast. For 5 minutes, they give you just headline snippet, headline snippet, headline snippet. That's it. If you heard that every day, that's really all you need to know what's going on in the world, really. Because you'll be abreast of, you know, oh, okay, they closed that road down over there, and apparently there's something going on the national level. And you can move on for the rest 55 minutes of your hour doing something productive for your life and for God, right? Now, I'm preaching to the choir to some of you, and you're going, yeah, I know about this stuff. Well, good. But we live in a culture that's saturated with this, folks, and a lot of people get their information from this, and that's a problem. It becomes a spiritual problem, okay? Because it changes the way they think. People want to know, where's the Christian influence? We've lost it a long time ago, folks, because as what's happened is Christians have turned from the Bible to Christian news. That's their source, right? Trusted conservative Christian sources. That's their source of information. It should be the Bible. Yeah, that's hard to understand, remember. 57% of Christians say it's hard to understand. So we'll let the priests deal with that. Let the pastors deal with that, right? And we'll pass around the news clip. News is a bad place to get educated. News is entertainment. In Rome, you've heard of the Colosseum, right? Big circular gladiatorial stadium of events. Earlier in the Roman Empire, or later in the Roman Empire, rather, they changed from being a republic From a democracy to a republic to an empire. Remember this? Some of you don't. You're like, that's a long time ago. Some of you haven't read the book. Some of you haven't been taught, right? The Roman Empire fell not because of people defeating it from the outside, but crumbling from the inside. And part of that crumbling was, people talk about this in the Roman Empire, and they've written books about it throughout history, was how the populace changed from being interested in the republic ideas, republican, not in the sense of modern republican democrat, but like the republic form of government, right? And more interested in the Colosseum, entertainment. One poet called it breads and circuses, okay? The people want bread and circuses. Give that to them, they don't care what you do in politics. And of course, for a long while, and even so today, this is true. Breads and circuses. Now this year, sports are canceled. The circuses are canceled. So people are watching the news, right? Well, people watch the news for a long while too in America. And the news just becomes another form of entertainment for many people. A 2018 study found that Americans spend on average 11 hours a day looking at screens, right? Whether it be working or TV or smartphones and what have you. 11 hours a day on average. That's not too much less than what you're awake, unless you're staying up later. They did a study finding that watching news about an event can create problems similar to as if you went through that event. Speaking about tragedies and things, right? You've heard about the windstorms in Iowa over there, right? Heard about the hurricanes down in Florida, right? You've heard about the hot spots in the pandemic across the country. Swayze has never been a hot spot, right? Well, either that or they don't have a news channel. I don't know, but one of the two, right? But you hear about these things, and they've done the studies. They were studying what people thought about certain tragic events, and they found that surprisingly, watching and being exposed to multiple hours of the event on the news had a similar effect mentally on people as the people who actually went through the event, which is to say it had a tragic mental health consequence, right? You going through it, that's a tragedy. It's like, I've been through this thing. I lost my house in a fire or a windstorm, and that's a tragic type of thing. And people watched that event and saw videos and pictures. Technology gets better. They could see, like, they're right there. You know, I'm right there, and they're watching it all the time. Hours exposure, you go through the same mental process. It's, wow. There's a higher chance of post-traumatic stress syndrome. You didn't even go through the thing. But you have it because you've been seeing the images and been thinking about it, and you've been exposed to it over and over again. Is that necessary? Some people work in industries where they are in it, right? And they deal with these issues themselves. Is it necessary everybody else be exposed to the same thing? Or doesn't that take away the idea of being a hero or taking a sacrifice if everybody has to go to the same tragedy? This is the problem, folks. We all want to be informed. We all want to see what happened in that car crash, right? It's something called negativity bias, which they've studied in psychological studies, right? Which is the idea that we are more attracted to things that are negative than positive, right? Naturally, right? No one stops and looks at all the cars going the speed limit. But everybody stops and look at that crash because it's new. And look, that's crazy. And look at, oh, what happened. And if there was a video of the people who got in that crash, who wouldn't click on it? Here's the video of how they got into the crash. Here's the video of the crash itself. Here's the video of the guy bleeding out. Here's the, right? Click, 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 click. This happens all the time. And people get exposed to this. It changes the way they think. The anxiety levels skyrocket, depression risk, health risks even, meaning like cardiovascular risk and things. They say that it affects the like diseases you'll have later in life because of the increase in cortisol and stress you have now by watching news. Well, I'm not saying all news again. It's too much news what we're talking about here, right? And on top of all that, it affects your views of different things. The way you view certain countries, certain people, certain things is affected by what you hear other people saying about it, right? That seems common sense, and they've confirmed that with their studies, right? The CDC reports that more youth are dying of suicide than COVID-19, right? The CDC has said that, right? And this happened early on. You remember I done a lesson on charts during a pandemic, and one of the charts I drew was this one right here. There's a chart of an increase, a vast increase of suicides that happen when unemployment increases, right? It's like, then because I knew that chart because I've read those studies before. And then when it happens, people die, right? There's consequences to some of these things. People's perception of what occurs is affected by what they see. Another survey, they asked certain Americans how many people they thought died of the coronavirus in America. They said, 9% of people in America have died of coronavirus. I mean, it's a deadly disease. 9% is 30 million people. Not true. 30 million people have not died from coronavirus. Not even 1% have died from coronavirus. Right? Not even 1% have died from coronavirus. But people's perception, that's what they're studying, the perception. How do you perceive? What do you think? Right? I think maybe that. Right? Why did you think that? Because of what I hear about it. It's everywhere. It's prevalent. How do you know that? Because of what I see in the news. There's a connection there, you see. And I'm not even talking about the veracity of it or not, even though there was a lot of wrong thoughts about things because of the news. I'm talking about people's perception of things being influenced by the news, right? And so this affects the way people think about what's going on in the world. They did a study on reporting about economic news over in Europe, and they found in the Netherlands that economic news headlines typically often are negative and often don't reflect the reality of the economic indicators. Because if I can tell you that something dropped, something went down, businesses failed, you get negativity bias, you'll click on that more than if I say, all's good, right? One writer said that the newspaper headlines in Utopia are very boring. Utopia is like paradise, right? All sunny and good today. Not entertaining, right? It's all interesting until it happens to you, right? And then it becomes serious. You know, this is the idea. So more report about things can change your perception of the prevalence of a thing. Brain cancer gets reported more than other cancers. And so people think that brain cancer is a more prevalent cancer than others that actually are more prevalent. Because it gets reported because of the tragedy, because of the nature of it, so the stories get boom, push, boom, boom, boom. Brain cancer is everywhere. People think of it, they perceive this way because of the nature that's reported. I'm just trying to inform you about the implicit bias that happens in the nature of news. Now, I'm not talking politically here. I'm just talking in the nature of the source. Be careful, right, of framing what you think about the world through the news. You've heard of framing effects, perhaps. Okay, framing effects is this idea that you can take a piece of information or an event and frame it two different ways. Okay? If I said there's a 95% chance of this helping you, you're going, it's pretty good. I say there's a 5% chance you could die a miserable death, you're going, not doing it. Right? Same information. Framed it a different way. Right? This happens all the time based on what people want people's perception of the news to be. Right? And I told you before, 92% of people in America have a Bible. You're going, that's a lot. 8% of people in America don't have a Bible. Well, that's too much. You know, it's like it changes your response, right? So 6% of people in America have a biblical worldview. That's too little. What's 6% of 300 million people? It's quite a few million people, right? A lot compared to what, right? So it's the framing. 6%, I framed it. That's too little. I framed it because of this. I wanted to show you this, right? But then you have to pull out your calculator and do 6% of 330 million people. Millions of people. Okay, that makes more sense. How can you say that, Justin? There's so many people go to church. Well, millions of people. Okay, that makes sense. Right? Maybe. But it's all framing. It's the way it's presented changes the nature of the thing. This is why preaching is both good and bad, depending on whether you're speaking truth. Because preaching is the presentation, the motivation for people to act upon a certain piece of information, right? The information hopefully being from the Bible, hopefully from the Bible rightly divided. And so if I'm communicating truth and I'm trying to get you to do the thing that the Bible says to do or get you to think the way the Bible said to think, then the preaching can be good. And if I've got a wrong piece of data or I'm trying to spin it a different way, preaching can be a terrible disease on people, right? And you're preaching across the country in churches because they have the wrong starting point or they have the wrong data or they want to spin it a different way. It infects people who hear the preaching and it's a problem. So bad news isn't only out here. Bad news is in here, too. Right? There's a problem. It becomes the change the way people think. They're not trusting Christ anymore. This is why people get upset at preachers and pastors. Say, I'm not going to listen to any preacher and pastor. I can understand your sentiment. You should, however, go to the source. Which is why we say here, open your Bible and study it for yourself. We try to teach you how to study the Bible yourself, and you make the decision based on the scripture for yourself, because you answer to God, not me for you, right? But what I tell you, I'm telling you because I believe it, you know. But understand, I'm telling you that I believe it, so I'm not telling you the anti-God bias, because I'm biased against those that are against God, right? Is that wrong to be biased? You're biased for a good thing? I'm biased against crime and murder. Shouldn't be biased. It's a good thing in that case, right? You have to know some of these things. I'm trying to get your brains to work. Some of you are going, they're working too much. Yeah. But you don't hear that in church very much. It's just, I'm going to feed you something. I'm going to spend a certain way to make you feel good for the week. And maybe give you a source so that when you go out and tell someone else, it's that telephone thing. You tell someone that my pastor said this and that. Well, I'm not your authority, folks. This book is your authority. God is your authority. Okay? How shall you think? Well, this was that first lesson, right? Think biblically. Think as a Christian. Think dispensationally. Think with the knowledge God's given you, where he wants you to come to a knowledge of the truth. The truth found in his word, rightly divided. In Psalm 143, verse 5, the Bible talks about things that you think upon. Now, this is just biblical, not even dispensational. I'm dyslexic. 143 verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. You say, well, that's a psalm. Sounds like a psalm. Think about it, about how you should be thinking. Now, of course, psalms written under Israel's covenant system and all that. But what is David musing on here? That word muse, you find in the word amusement, right? It has to do with what you think on, what you ponder about, what's in your ears and in your eyes, and what rattles around in your head. In Psalm 43, David says that I'm going to remember the days of old. I am going to meditate on all thy works. The reason why they're old days, by the way, is not because he's nostalgic. It's not like, when I was growing up, they were better. That's not that sort of thing. Okay? The days of old has to do with what God did for Israel. That's why he's looking back there. Because they were recorded in the Bible, right? So I'm looking on these days to meditate on all your works, God, to work on, to think, to muse on all the work of your hands. Now, dispensationally, that's written to Israel. Spiritual application, maybe you should think on the things of God too, right? What are the things that God did in your past? Did he save you? Maybe you should meditate on that and think about that and rejoice in that. What did he do when he saved you, as you start to learn the knowledge of the truth? Did he make you a saint? Did he give you all riches of his grace? Did he give you all spiritual blessings? Did he make you an ambassador? There's a lot of things to think about there that can change the way in which you frame the world, right? Change the way in which you make choices, right? To muse. Elsewhere in Psalms, it talks about looking at the stars, right? The other day, I went outside my backyard and just looked at the stars and looked at the sunset. Like, this is amazing. God created these amazing things. And the more you rejoice in the Lord and what he's done, that's what the solution is to this, to the anxiety and depression and PTSD because you're watching news and what the world thinks is important. Why don't you think of what God has done over and over again? Whether it be his creation, whether it be you say, well, this creation's corrupted. It is, but who saved us from it? God. Where do we get a source of comfort? The God of all comfort, right? Go through the fruits of the Spirit that he gives you and say, thank God for that, because he's the source of love and joy and peace. It says, rejoice in the Lord. And we look for entertainment. We're looking for somewhere to have fun, to rejoice. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. And when you say, I don't want to, that's a sin. And it causes problems in your life, right? Think on the things of the Lord. Psalm 119, every good Baptist knows this verse, right? Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. These are all Proverbs and Psalms, right? Written to Israel. Paul says similar things, however. Similar things about reading, reading and to exhortation and doctrine. All scripture is profitable, right? Rejoice in the Lord. Think on these things that have virtue, that are just, that are true. In Philippians 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4, verse 8, he gives you 8 things there to think about. In 1 Corinthians 16:15, instead of addicting yourself to the news or entertainment, why don't you addict yourself to the ministry? I'm working on a lesson on what it means to have a life of ministry, because I don't think people have the right concept of it. I think, being a minister, that sounds depressing. When you minister for God to people, you have to be aware of a breadth of issues. And thus, you have to study things in the Bible that relate to personal problems, whether it be personal solutions, whether it be the creation of the universe, whether it be the nature of man, the nature of God, whether it be the nature of our interactions with each other. By the way, all of these are the seeds of modern fields of scientific study, because they turn to the Bible and they expand their seeking for knowledge and truth, and they start just doing that. You see, without Christianity, the knowledge wisdom of the world decreases, right? And everyone just knows what they're told from some people who want them to know it. People use the news as a distraction. You know your attention is the product, right? You open your smartphone, look on the internet, blogs, whatever, the newspaper even, TV, radio. Your attention is the product. Because radio is free, right? Why is it they interrupt your favorite radio program with commercials? Or podcast to bring in the 21st century with commercials. It surely is because that guy really likes that product. He's just telling me something he likes. They paid him money to get your attention. Because if they put it in the middle, you're not going to flip the channel away real quick. Because I'm listening to it, I'm driving, I'm not going to change the channel just for 30 seconds. Your attention is the product. They paid someone for your attention. Your attention was just sold for a price to someone for pennies. Cheapening your attention? I think so. Maybe you ought to think about your attention and the things you heed as more valuable than just pennies. If I'm going to spend my time on something, it's something valuable, is what the Bible says. Redeem the time, right? Give heed to these things, like give heed to ministry, Archippus, Colossians 4, verse 17. Because you're wasting your time over there, right? It's interesting. Edward Bernays lived in the 1920s, wrote a book called Propaganda. Anybody read it? No, okay. 1920s. That's not new at all. Some of the best books aren't new, folks. If you're looking for books to read, there's new books every day, and the bad ones you never hear about, the good ones, or at least the ones worthwhile, you'll hear 50 years down the road that are still on the bookshelves, you know. Edward Bernays wrote a book called Propaganda, and he talked about before the field of public relations was a thing. You know, public relations, the thing that's kind of a nightmare now for many people in politics and everywhere else. He kind of invented that sort of idea. Okay, he was a psychologist back in the 1920s, and he said, because people in America are more literate now, people are illiterate, it's easier to control them, you know. But when they're literate, that means they read things, which means you need to put things in front of them that they'll read and see that will influence their thinking, right? Instead of just, if they're illiterate, you can tell them whatever you want, how they're going to study it out. They're literate, you have to tell them. And so they're going to read signs, they're going to read billboards, they're going to read things about what's going on. So they're going to know what the best product is by what someone tells them, right? And thus he influenced a lot in the marketing industry and his principles and how he did it. But also public relations. Public relations is about how you or a company or a politician is viewed by other people. Public relations, right? You may be like this in private, but hey, don't act like that in front of the camera, right? We need public relations here. This is the whole principle. It's how people view you. So we're going to present you or your business, we're going to brand it in such a way that it is influential, that it's attractive, it gathers people's attention, and thus you can get ultimately, which is the goal, power and money. And that's what he's writing about. You either want influence and power, or you want someone's money, whether it be, you know, because you're making a living or whatever. It doesn't have to be a malicious intent, that's just what people are wanting. And so he wrote about this, and he says that this is what propaganda is. And he uses the media for this. And he says it's an enduring effort to shape events to influence people. That's what media is. That's what it is. So don't waste an opportunity, he said. If you're going to report on something, you should report it in such a way that you want to influence people to respond the right way. And that was the beginning of the change of media in our country to, I mean, now, that's the warning of today's lesson. Consuming news, you better be aware they're trying to influence you. Again, I'm not saying maliciously. It's just for their intent and not yours. They're trying to influence you to a certain end by reporting of the same event, right? Or a certain event, right? They're, by editorial choice, they're putting before you what they want you to know. And if you're at a certain news media outlet and you don't like the way the editorial board works, you form another one, right? By the way, the way they talk about that is how we used to talk about churches. We're preaching truth. You didn't like the truth we're preaching there, you go start another one. People are tired of churches these days. Churches, isn't any, you don't get anything new from churches, right? You don't need anything valuable from churches. I say that sarcastically. You should, right? News is tabloid. It's gossip. It's reality TV. That's all it is now. Reality TV is dead pretty much because the news has replaced it. That's all it is. It's real reality. Spun in a way to make it entertaining for you, right? It's a Jerry Springer show, which is now off air. Some of you know what Jerry Springer is. Some of you don't. It's off air. One of the longest running, you know, drama TV shows in the 90s and early 2000s. Yeah, reruns. Jerry Springer. Put people with problems on the TV and you frame it in such a way that the crowd's all throwing things at them. It's just drama and everyone watches it. Goes, look at this TV show going bust. I mean, this thing's really getting disrupted here. It was all planned, folks. They set it up that way and filmed it so that you'd watch it. It was like 20-some years it ran. It worked, right? That's why they do that. And they made a buck, you see. Don't sell yourself for cheap like that. Paul says, give your attention to certain things. 1 Timothy 4:16 tells Timothy to heed thyself and the doctrine. Now, heed thyself isn't Paul saying, be selfish. You know, it's him saying, look, you're valuable to do the work that God's called you to do. You better think about that and pay attention to that. Because your attention, your time, your life is going to be trying to be pulled by so many people for them to use you. You understand? That's what the world is. It's people wanting to use you for their ends. And the ones that don't, you count them your friends. You know, it's like, that's great. Because friends don't use each other like that. You know, but this is the nature. You go into a store, they're wanting to sell you something, obviously. That's why they're in business. Right? You say, well, church is a business too. That's true. I'm trying to convince you of the truth of this word. At least I'm honest about it. Be careful of the dishonest ones. That's the problem. But you need to take heed to thyself. You're a believer, you're a Christian, you're dispensational, you're an ambassador. You have a job and you're important and valuable to the Lord and his work and what you're supposed to be doing. Take heed to thyself and the doctrine. You can save yourself and others, is what Paul says in that same context. Too much news can distort your perspective. We covered this in our first lesson, Matthew 4:4. Man lives not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You need the words in the mouth of God. That's your source of truth and information. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, Paul talks about not heeding certain things. The Spirit speaks expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. All right? Things that are communicated and taught will influence people, and they'll be wrong, so wrong, they'll be contrary to God. That doesn't happen at all, does it? Yeah. But they don't put it on TV. Tonight, doctrines of devils. No, it's not like that. It's just like we're teaching something that has no God concern, no biblical. Well, we're going to mock the Bible a little bit, mock some Christians a little bit, and those wacky dispensationalists. Then we'll tell you something that we think is scientifically based, and it's anti-God. Right? And you wouldn't know that unless you had the knowledge of the truth. That's what seducing spirits, doctrines of devils are. That's what nearsighted, narrow-minded new syndrome is. It's the spirit of the world influencing your mind. Be careful. That's all I'm saying. Be careful and guard yourself with the tools God's given you. Right? Too much can distort your perspective. You'll start thinking this way. Too much news can distract you from the mind of Christ. You're supposed to have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2 verse 21 says, you're supposed to think of the things that are Christ's. Thus, think like a Christian about the news. And too much of this will distort your mind and distract your mind from what it's supposed to be. Right? Be careful. Too much news can diminish your true knowledge and wisdom. They tout this as information, as being well-informed, and that's not correct. This is true knowledge of being well-informed about what's important in life, the most valuable things that exist. Relationships between the people that are most valuable to you. God told you that. Right? The way you operate, wake up every day, God told you that, right? Most of you, most of us, maybe all of us, will never make the news. What's that say about the news and your life? You see? Now, some people's lives are all over the news. They've got an interest. Let's put that in perspective. It could diminish your true knowledge and wisdom. We've already seen how the news creates narrow-mindedness and doesn't actually inform you about certain events, depending on where you get it. Too much news can deceive you to think that everything is happening now. Ephesians 2 verse 7, we dealt with this last week, where dispensationally, we don't live in paradise. Dispensationally, we're not living right now in the times of the signs, right? If the news is true, then everything that new is happening now. What's happening now is most important. Maybe that's not true with that event. Ephesians 2, verse 7 says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That is going to be a good day. That's where we're going. That's our hope in the ages to come. Okay? The ages to come is not now. The news is what's happening now. Well, maybe now isn't what you're supposed to set your affection on. Right? You have this balanced approach into Scripture about things that are past, things that are present, things that are future. And too much of the news can deceive you into thinking that the only important things are what's happening right now. Go back to Acts 17. How did the Athenians respond to Paul after he preached Jesus and him crucified and his resurrection? Paul did his ambassadorship function, performed his apostolic duty, he ministered to the Athenians, the world, the Gentiles, and he said, this is Christ in crucified and resurrection, and all of Athenia was converted, and the kingdom was established there in Greece, and forevermore they rejoiced in the Lord. No. Acts chapter 17, he preached Christ and crucified, down in verse 30. Paul says, he ends his message, the times of this ignorance God winked at. He just called them ignorant. Right? By the way, if the news causes you to ignore things in the Bible and things of Christ, that's where the word ignorant comes from. You become ignorant because you ignore things and you don't know the things you should. And even if you do it at one time, if you're distracted too much, you'll forget about it, you'll ignore it, and thus you become ignorant again. You don't use it, you lose it, old people tell me. It's true. You don't use it, you lose it, including biblical knowledge, right? You better practice that thing you have, if you have it. In Acts 17, verse 30, says, at times this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. You will never hear that on the news, unless it's mocking Kenneth Copeland or somebody, you know. Repent? We don't do that these days. We're too advanced to understand this. We're too progressive. In verse 31, because, why should you repent? Here's the reason why. Very reasonable. He hath appointed a day in the future in which he will judge the world in righteousness. I'm sure someone was thinking, is that day today? If it was not today, oh, well, then it's not news. You know? Wait until it happens, then tell me. It'll be news when that happens, right? Clouds part back like scroll, weird alien comes from outer space, you know. Well, you won't be here at that time, and they'll be shaking in their boots, and maybe the news channels won't be working, but he appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. That's the assurance that he's the guy, he rose from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, okay, some clicked subscribe. Some of them clicked on something else, right? And others got off their computer and followed Paul and did the work that he did. That's what I'm trying to encourage you to do. It says in verse 32, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. That's the subscription there. We'll hear you again. Click, subscribe. Notify me when you get a new update. Verse 33, so Paul departed from among them. Right? Howbeit, certain men, few of them, clave unto him and believed, and among the which was Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them. So a few of them actually believed and followed him, clave to him, and did the ministry work. And that's what I'm trying to exhort you to do. You have the knowledge information. Beware of this news. You need to get busy doing the work God called you to do. Right? Some people are going to say, don't want to hear it anymore. Others are going to say, keep talking to me, but you know, only when you got something new, you keep saying the same thing every time. But you're supposed to preach the same message that God said to preach to people that would hear it, to see souls saved and saints edified, right? Amen. Any questions or comments about our series?